Hello everyone, I'm Jake, filling in for Nick today. Now Nick told me he was headed out to save the world from a global botnet, but I'm pretty sure I saw him at the hardware store buying bubble wrap and fragile tape. So he's either dismantling a cyber syndicate, or he's finally moving into that new house. Either way, he's busy.
And I'm Alina, in for Sue. Sue gave me a similar story about a top secret mission, but she also mentioned something about losing the remote in a packing box. So while they're out there saving the world, or just their fine china, Jake and I are holding down the fort here at Stampout Scams.
We absolutely are. And welcome to you, the listener. We're getting into a deep dive today into something that, well, it fundamentally alters how you interact with the digital world.
It really does.
Yeah, because in my days as a high-tech crimes investigator, we used to look for physical evidence, right? Like fingerprints on glass, or a dropped wallet, maybe a footprint.
The tangible stuff. Exactly, the tangible stuff. But today, we are looking at a landscape where the absolute pinnacle of consumer technology, literally the camera sitting in your pocket right now, has accidentally turned your face into the ultimate currency on the dark web.
And security experts are calling this the high-res trap.
The high-res trap. We are pulling from an incredible stack of sources for this deep dive, including some really groundbreaking investigative reporting by Claire Montgomery over at Scam TV.
Yeah, her work is phenomenal.
It is. And we've also got these deeply detailed analytical notes on biometric dark markets. So our mission today is to unpack the architecture of this trap, and most importantly, map out the exact tactical defenses you need to protect your digital sovereignty.
Which is such an essential mission, especially when you realize how invisible this threat feels in the moment.
Totally invisible.
Right. And as a former investigative journalist and victim advocate, I've seen firsthand how just a casual action, something we all do without a second thought, can unravel a person's life months or even years down the line. We're talking about the fact that your transparency, your desire to share your life in beautiful high definition, has actually become your absolute greatest vulnerability.
It's wild to think about. Let's just jump right into the mechanics of that vulnerability, because I want to paint a vivid picture for you, the listener, to show just how casually the security breach happens every single day.
Set the scene.
Okay, imagine you are sitting at a corner table in your favorite local coffee shop.
Got your latte.
The ambient lighting is just incredible. You've got that specific, highly sought after golden hour sunlight.
Oh, the perfect selfie lighting.
The absolute perfect lighting. It's streaming right through the window. So you hold up your modern smartphone. But, and here's the kicker, we have to pause and realize what you are actually holding.
It's not just a phone anymore.
No, it's not. It is a computational photography powerhouse. We're talking about a device packing, 100 megapixel sensor capable of shooting in stunning, uncompressed 8K resolution. So you smile, you snap the photo, and the internal software takes over. The processor instantly stitches together multiple exposures, balances the dynamic range, and boom, it outputs a flawless image.
The danger lies entirely in what that sensor is physically capturing in that fraction of a second.
Right.
Because we throw around marketing terms like 8K and 100 megapixel so casually.
Right, it's just on the box.
Exactly. They lose their technical weight. Optically, we aren't just talking about a nice sharp picture that accurately shows the distance between your eyes or, you know, the shape of your jawline.
It goes way deeper.
Way deeper. At uncompressed 8K resolution, your camera is capturing microscopic details that the naked human eye cannot even perceive if you are standing 2 feet away from the person.
It's staggering. In my investigative work, the sheer volume of data contained in a single modern photograph was always the thing that blew my mind.
Because the sensor is mapping the literal microtexture of your epidermis.
Yes. It is capturing the microscopic interwoven threads of your wool sweater. It is mapping the literal physical depth of the individual pores on your cheeks based on how the micro shadows fall across your skin.
And add to that the fact that you are sitting in that perfect golden hour light.
Oh, right.
A sensor is capturing the unique, complex structural patterns of your iris.
Based on the light refraction.
Exactly. Based on how the sunlight refracts off your cornea. So you think you're posting a cute picture of you enjoying a latte.
Just a normal Tuesday.
Right. But what you are actually broadcasting is a mathematically perfect, three-dimensional topographical blueprint of your human anatomy.
I want to use a physical analogy here to really cement what this shift in data density means for you. Think about your physical house keys.
Right.
If you posted a blurry, highly compressed photo to your feed back in 2015, it was like leaving a grainy, out-of-focus Polaroid picture of your house keys sitting on a table from 20 feet away.
A thief looking through the window can clearly see that you have keys.
Right. They know you own a house. But they cannot possibly cut a functional metal replica from that blurry image. The physical data required to duplicate the grooves and cuts simply does not exist in the photograph.
The raw material isn't there to exploit.
Exactly. But posting an uncompressed 8K selfie today, that is the exact equivalent of leaving a high-definition, laser-scanned 3D mold of those house keys right on your front porch.
With a sign.
With a giant neon sign that says, "Take me." You tap the screen, you push the photo out to your network to preserve a memory with your friends, and you might have just handed over the cryptographic master keys to your entire digital and financial life.
And how we arrived at this point technologically is such a fascinating story of unintended consequences.
It really is.
Because this transition from a preserved memory to a compromised security asset, that's the core of the high-res trap. And it didn't happen because malicious actors hacked the cameras.
No, they didn't have to.
Right. It happened because of a massive systemic infrastructure shift in how digital platforms handle the media we willingly upload.
Let's talk about the end of the compression era.
Yes, the bandwidth issue.
Because for the longest time, the entire internet was heavily constrained by bandwidth limitations. If you uploaded a photo over an old 3G cellular network, the back-end servers of the social media platform would immediately intercept that file.
And run it through extremely aggressive compression algorithms.
Exactly. The goal was purely economic. They needed to crush the file size down to save server storage space and to reduce load times for users on slow connections.
And in doing so, those platforms were acting as a massive, unintentional security filter for the global population.
That's the crazy part. The aggressive compression literally blurred out the subpixel data.
Those minute anatomical details we talked about, the depth of your pores, the striations in your iris, mathematically destroyed by the compression process, they were replaced by generic blocks of color.
But then the global infrastructure upgraded. We rolled out 5G networks, we laid down global fiber optics, cloud storage became incredibly cheap. So the economic incentives for the major tech platforms completely flipped.
They were no longer worried about saving a few kilobytes of bandwidth.
Not at all. They were suddenly competing for your attention in an ecosystem utterly dominated by high refresh rate OLED Retina displays. So they pivoted their entire business model to prioritizing what they call an immersive user experience.
And to deliver that immersive experience, they quietly disabled those legacy compression protocols.
Exposing that invisible layer of subpixel data to the open web.
And wherever valuable data sits exposed, an industry rises to harvest it.
A dark industry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The cyber syndicates operating in this space are highly organized. They do not employ humans to manually scroll through your feeds looking for clear photos.
No, manual labor is way too slow.
Far too inefficient for the scale they operate on. Instead, they deploy biometric crawlers.
These are automated machine learning bots. In the law enforcement world, we'd watch these automated networks probe systems constantly. It's wild to see.
They are relentless. They run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, operating across thousands of proxy servers to bypass standard platform scraping limitations and IP bans.
And the most chilling aspect of these crawlers is their total indifference to the social context of your media.
They don't care about your caption.
They ignore your clever caption. They ignore your location tags. They don't care who you are standing next to.
These crawlers use localized computer vision algorithms designed to execute one single, highly optimized task. Isolate human faces in the frame.
Yep.
Extract that subpixel topographical math.
Mm-hmm.
Compile it into a raw biometric profile. And discard the rest of the image.
Now, here's a crucial point for you to understand regarding your privacy settings, because this is a massive blind spot for most people.
A huge one.
A lot of users think, well, I'm safe. My account is locked down. It is set to private, so I am completely insulated from these automated bots.
That is a deeply dangerous assumption.
It really is. The reality is that you are only as secure as your most public friend. Let's say you attend a wedding. Or a dinner party.
Someone's taking a group shot.
Exactly. A less security-conscious connection of yours snaps a high-res group photo and posts it to their public feed. The bots will scrape your face from their account just as easily as they would from yours.
The privacy settings on your personal profile are entirely irrelevant if your biometric data is publicly available anywhere else on the open internet.
That interconnected vulnerability is exactly why billions of data points are being siphoned continuously.
But, you know, this brings up a secondary, almost more insidious threat regarding our digital archives. The media we are uploading today is compromised. But what about the historical record?
Oh, man.
What about the photos we posted a decade ago?
This is perfectly on point. Because back in my day, we weren't shooting in 8K.
No, we were not.
We were rocking those chunky, heavy, 5-megapixel point-and-shoot digital cameras. You know the ones.
The ones that took AA batteries.
Yes. You'd take them to a party in 2008 or 2010. The flash would absolutely blind everyone.
And take 10 seconds to recharge.
Exactly. And the photos were blurry, pixelated, and heavily compressed right onto the SD card. I look back at those old albums, and my investigator brain thinks, well, those are definitely useless to a modern biometric crawler. The data just isn't there.
Right.
But the investigative sources explicitly warn that the ghost of photos past is an active, evolving threat right now.
The current intelligence on generative AI reveals that those old, low-resolution photos are actively being weaponized. The syndicates aren't throwing them away, they're running them through JANs.
Generative adversarial networks.
Exactly. These are incredibly powerful artificial intelligence models that have spent years being trained on tens of millions of high-resolution human faces.
They understand human facial anatomy implicitly.
They understand the physics of how light bounces off an iris. They understand genetic structural correlations.
Let me break down the mechanics of that because it sounds like magic. How does a computer pull pore-level data out of a blurry, blocky photo from 2010? Because the physical data literally does not exist in those old pixels.
That's the terrifying part. It doesn't pull the data out, it synthesizes it.
It makes it up.
Yes. When a syndicate feeds your pixelated 2010 party photo into the JAN, the algorithm uses the broad strokes of your blurry face as a foundational scaffold.
Like the general distance between your eyes.
Right, or the rough shape of your jaw. Then, the AI begins to extrapolate. It invents the missing topographical data.
Wow.
It generates skin texture. It places micro shadows where they mathematically should be. It synthesizes an iris pattern that perfectly aligns with their broader facial structure.
And it iterates this process thousands of times in seconds.
Until it outputs a modernized, synthesized, high-resolution facial map.
Which means the raw material for biometric theft has essentially been stockpiled on public servers for 15 years. The crawlers hoarded those pixelated photos back then when storage became cheap, just waiting in the dark for artificial intelligence to mature enough to unlock them.
The threat is entirely retroactive. Your digital shadow is constantly working against you in the background. And once these biometric blueprints are extracted from a modern 8K image or synthesized from an old compressed one, they do not sit idle.
No, they are immediately routed into the dark web economy. Which brings us to the operational side of this threat, the data deep dive.
Let's get into the marketplace.
Yeah, these profiles are funneled into specialized dark web marketplaces controlled by highly sophisticated broker entities. We essentially have a literal stock exchange for human identity functioning beneath the surface of the internet.
A literal stock exchange.
And I want to spend some time breaking down the price matrix of a face. Because on these dark markets, victims are utterly commodified.
The human element is completely stripped away.
You are treated as a high-stakes financial asset, treated like a stock or a commodity.
The level of objectification in these broker networks is chilling. So how exactly are the syndicates determining the financial value of someone's biometric profile?
Okay, the valuation fluctuates dynamically based on two primary metrics. Metric number one is net worth correlation.
Okay.
The face brokers don't just sell the raw image, they package it with context. They run parallel scraping operations against open source intelligence.
Deploying bots to scrape LinkedIn profiles.
Exactly. Public property tax records, corporate registries. If they can algorithmically link your scraped biometric profile to a high net worth individual, or say someone with corporate signing authority at a major publicly traded company.
The asset price absolutely skyrockets.
It's through the roof.
And the logic there is purely return on investment. The potential payout for the secondary syndicate buying that asset is astronomically higher if they know the face belongs to someone with access to millions in corporate funds rather than a college student.
Precisely the way they look at it. Then you have metric number two, data volume.
Volume of data.
Let's go back to our coffee shop scenario. A single 8K photo scraped from your feed is considered a standard asset.
It has value.
It absolutely has value and it will sell, but it represents the baseline of the market. Now, a premium or gold tier asset is a profile constructed from massive sustained caches of data over time.
Multi-angle stuff.
Exactly. We are talking about highly detailed photos taken from multiple angles combined with high definition audio clips.
Like this deep dive right here.
Exactly. If you have ever done a podcast appearance or given a recorded speech at a conference or even posted long videos of yourself talking to the camera on social media, you are feeding the gold tier.
Because that sheer volume of multidimensional data allows the purchasing syndicate to train a flawless, dynamic 3D reconstruction model of you.
And the economic reality of this marketplace is jarring when you look at the raw numbers. I want to explicitly contrast the dark market value of one face against an asset we all historically consider to be highly sensitive.
Our credit cards.
Our credit cards. Right now, on the dark web, a single high-resolution facial profile sells for significantly more than a bundle of 12 valid active credit cards with the CVV codes included.
12 active limit-tested credit cards versus one single face.
Yes.
That is a staggering comparison that really illustrates the paradigm shift in digital crime.
Let's dig into the why behind that massive price disparity. In the cybersecurity world, a credit card is what we call a revocable token.
Revocable, meaning you can cancel it.
Exactly. If a hacker buys your stolen credit card on a dark forum, they're buying a very temporary, highly volatile window of opportunity. Because the absolute moment you notice a fraudulent charge on your statement, what do?
You pick up your phone and call the fraud department at your bank.
Right, and the card dies instantly. The hacker's access to your funds is permanently severed. Yes, it is an administrative headache for you. You have to wait a few days for a new piece of plastic to arrive in the mail.
Update your autopay accounts.
Right. But the financial bleeding stops the literal second you make that phone call.
The structural nature of the asset means the victim retains ultimate control. But your face operates under entirely different rules.
Your face is a permanent biological seed. It is the ultimate master key to your identity.
We can't just cancel it.
You cannot call a customer service line and request a new face. It is an immutable physical identifier. So, to a cyber criminal, purchasing your face doesn't just grant them access to the money currently sitting in your checking account today.
It grants them the permanent, ongoing authority to originate new wealth in your name.
Yes, they can open massive offshore loans. They can digitally sign binding smart contracts on blockchain networks. They are quite literally hijacking your legal capacity to exist and operate within the digital financial system.
Bringing this back to the bigger picture, this master key economy is terrifying because of how rapidly it translates into physical action.
It doesn't just stay on the dark web.
No. The theoretical danger of a dark market listing leads directly to the devastating reality of the synthetic takeover. We need to look at how this threat operates in the wild once a syndicate actually purchases your data.
Right. If a group buys that premium 8K profile, their immediate operational goal is to bypass the security layer we all rely on every day.
Liveness detection protocols.
Liveness detection is something you interact with constantly, even if you don't think about the mechanics of it. When you open your banking app or your cryptocurrency exchange and it prompts you to look at the screen to authenticate.
It isn't just taking a flat, two-dimensional picture.
No, the hardware in your phone is actively mapping you. It projects thousands of invisible infrared dots onto your face to measure the precise depth of your features.
It uses time-of-flight sensors.
Yes, to bounce photons off your skin, looking for a micropulse of blood beneath the epidermis, or an involuntary eye flutter. The system wants mathematical, physical proof that a living, breathing, three-dimensional human is holding the device.
And the syndicates know they cannot beat that sensor with a printed photograph.
Obviously not.
So they have engineered a way around the physical constraints of the device altogether. They take the purchased 8K biometric map and use it to generate a dynamic, three-dimensional digital mask.
A digital mask.
And to deploy this mask, they utilize highly specialized software to execute what is known as a virtual camera injection. They inject a fake data feed directly into the target application's operating environment.
Let me pause on that because the technical audacity is wild. They completely bypass the physical camera lens on your actual phone.
Entirely. The banking app requests the camera feed from the phone's operating system, but the hacker's injected software intercepts that request at the system level.
Wow.
Instead of pulling data from the physical lens, it feeds the app a direct synthetic data stream originating from the hacker's server. It feeds the banking app perfect depth maps. It simulates a realistic human pulse,
providing the correct subpixel skin textures and corneal reflections.
Exactly. And the app's internal security logic analyzes the incoming data, registers the eye flutter, verifies the iris pattern against your file, and happily concludes that the authorized user is physically holding the phone.
And just like that, the encrypted ecosystem is violently breached. The accounts are drained in seconds, often while the actual user is fast asleep in another time zone.
Our sources note that global biometric identity theft utilizing these methods increased by 300% last year alone.
300%. But emptying a checking account is really just the entry-level threat here. We have to talk about the severe escalation from static account access to active real-time synthesis.
The deep key attack.
The deep key attack.
The deep key attack is where the syndicates move beyond simply spoofing a login screen and step into acting as a fully realized digital marionette.
A puppet master.
Exactly. For this level of attack, they take your premium dataset, the accumulated 8K photos, the multi-angle videos, the hours of high-def audio, and they train a bespoke neural network to entirely replicate your persona.
It goes so far beyond just looking like you. It replicates your specific regional vocal cadences. It learns your physical tics.
Like the way you blink.
Right. It analyzes the asymmetrical way you smile when you're nervous, or how you tilt your head when you're listening to a question.
It synthesizes your entire digital essence into a puppet they can control in real time. The macroeconomic implications of this capability are staggering.
The investigative reporting provides a terrifying scenario that illustrates the scale of this threat. Imagine a highly realistic AI-generated 8K video feed of a prominent corporate CEO.
Okay.
They appear on a live emergency investor Zoom call, and this synthesized CEO calmly announces a fraudulent, catastrophic bankruptcy.
The market reaction would be instantaneous. Trading algorithms would analyze the speech and vaporize billions of dollars in market capitalization in milliseconds.
Long before any human analyst could even realize it was a deepfake.
It shatters our foundational understanding of truth. It proves that the oldest maxim of human evidence, that seeing is believing, has been completely neutralized.
Seeing is no longer believing.
No. Seeing a high-definition video of an event happening live is no longer cryptographic proof that the event is actually occurring.
That is a heavy paradigm-shifting realization, and I think we really need to pivot here and look closely at the actual human cost of this technology. Because as an investigator, it is so easy to get wrapped up in the technical jargon.
The virtual camera injection?
Right, the generative adversarial networks, the proxy servers. But at the epicenter of every single one of these synthetic takeovers is a real human being whose life is being violently upended.
Completely upended.
With your extensive experience as a victim advocate, walk us through the reality of the stolen self.
I am so glad we are focusing on this, because the technical specs don't mean anything until you understand the human toll. Here's what that feels like for a victim.
Okay.
The psychological reality of a synthetic takeover is entirely unlike any other form of traditional financial fraud. Let's walk through a Tuesday evening scenario to ground this in everyday life.
Lay it out.
You are sitting at home, reading a book on the couch, completely relaxed. Your phone rings. It's the fraud department at your bank.
Always a stressful call.
Right. And they're calling to confirm a massive, irrevocable wire transfer to an overseas holding account. Or perhaps the transfer of your property deed.
Your immediate reaction, of course, is sheer confusion. You deny it. You say, I've been sitting on my couch reading for 3 hours. I haven't even touched my computer.
You assume it has to be a clerical error.
Oh.
You're waiting for the bank rep to apologize and reverse the charge. But then
what?
Then the bank sends you the evidence file. And this is where the sheer existential horror sets in. They do not send you a printout of an IP address log or a forged paper signature.
Oh.
They send you a flawless, uncompressed 8K video file of you authorizing the transfer. You open the file on your phone, and you are staring directly into your own eyes.
And the generative AI is so advanced now, it has scoured your digital footprint to reconstruct your actual wardrobe from old social media posts.
Yes. You are watching a version of yourself sitting in a room wearing a sweater you actually own, looking directly into the camera, speaking in your exact voice with your exact cadence.
And calmly, willingly destroying your own financial life.
Yes.
Yes.
The brutal gaslighting effect of that specific moment is indescribable for victims. It induces a severe state of cognitive dissonance.
I can imagine.
You are processing absolute visual and auditory proof of a highly consequential action that your conscious memory knows for a fact never happened. It is the ultimate violation of bodily autonomy and personhood.
Your physical form has been completely decoupled from your actual consciousness. Yeah. I can't even fathom the panic of that moment. And the nightmare doesn't start when you hang up the phone with the bank. The high cost of reclaiming that stolen identity is a grueling marathon.
It is a devastating process. I need to emphasize how structurally different this is from credit card fraud.
Right, because with credit card fraud, the bank generally assumes the liability, investigates internally, and refunds your money in a matter of days.
But in a synthetic biometric takeover, the burden of proof flips entirely onto the victim.
Why?
Because the bank's system logs show a perfect biometric match. The liveness detection passed with flying colors. To the massive automated institution, the underlying math says you did it.
So you are presumed mathematically guilty by the very security systems designed to protect you.
Precisely the trap. The victim is suddenly facing nearly a year of intense, exhausting litigation. You have to legally and mathematically prove a negative.
That the flawless video sitting in the court file is a fabrication.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to do that, you cannot rely on the bank's internal teams. You are forced to hire private, out-of-pocket digital forensics firms.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about highly specialized analysts who charge hundreds of dollars an hour.
What are those forensic teams actually looking for during that litigation? Because they can't just point to a blurry pixel or a weird shadow anymore. The JANs are too good for that.
The forensic process is incredibly dense. Huh. They have to tear the synthetic media apart frame by excruciating frame.
Looking for what?
They analyze spatial frequency data, looking for microscopic inconsistencies in the algorithmic noise patterns that human eyes miss. They have to reverse engineer compression artifacts.
Building a massive case.
They're essentially building a highly technical, dense, mathematical argument to present to a judge, proving that the video was generated by a neural network's gradient descent rather than captured by physical light hitting a physical optical lens.
All while your actual life is falling apart around you.
The collateral damage is relentless. Meanwhile, because of the outstanding massive fraud, your credit score is decimated.
Right, you can't borrow.
That means you can't even get a traditional loan to pay the massive invoices from these forensic experts. If your career requires security clearances or you work in finance, those clearances are immediately suspended pending the year-long investigation.
But what about their personal lives?
That is the most heartbreaking part I see with victims, the intense social isolation. Even if you endure the litigation and eventually clear your name in court, your colleagues, your employer, maybe even your extended family.
They saw the video.
They saw the video. Human psychology is stubborn. They saw you commit the act with their own eyes. The unconscious suspicion lingers long after the legal battle is won.
That is absolutely devastating. The collateral damage of this high-res trap is just staggering.
It really is.
But we cannot leave you, the listener, feeling helpless against this tide. We understand the vast architecture of the threat. We understand the economics of the dark market. And we deeply understand the profound human toll. Now, we are going to dedicate substantial time, the remainder of our focus today, to mapping out your exact tactical defense.
This is the most important part.
I want to lead this tactical breakdown because reclaiming your digital sovereignty requires immediate, actionable steps. We are going to build your digital shield piece by piece.
And constructing that shield starts with a fundamental philosophical shift in our baseline digital hygiene.
We have to start treating our high-resolution photos as mere social currency and start treating them as the sensitive biometric data they actually are. The sources outline a defense philosophy called the 1080p shield. This is an exercise in voluntary digital minimalism, and it is brilliant in its simplicity and effectiveness.
Let's break down the math of why it works.
Okay, we talked earlier about how the biometric algorithms require extreme data density to function. Specifically, to mathematically map a human iris for banking authentication, the software requires about 200 pixels across the physical diameter of the iris alone.
Which requires an incredible amount of localized detail captured by the sensor.
It does. But if you make a conscious choice to voluntarily downgrade your smartphone camera's export settings to a maximum resolution of 1080p,
you fundamentally break the face broker's entire supply chain.
Exactly. A standard 1080p image physically crushes that subpixel skin topography and those delicate corneal reflections out of existence. The file format itself physically lacks the raw data density the bots need to execute their math.
It starves the automated machine learning bots of their essential raw material.
And think about it practically. A 1080p photo is perfectly, wonderfully adequate for human connection.
Completely.
To your friends, to your family scrolling on their phones, the photo looks clear, it looks colorful, it conveys the joy of the memory perfectly. No one in your social circle is going to leave a comment complaining that your vacation photo lacks sufficient pore-level depth detail.
No one is zooming in that far.
Right. But by defaulting your entire digital output to 1080p, you render the image utterly useless to a biometric crawler. Let them scrape your feed all day long across 1,000 proxy servers. They cannot build a functional 3D biometric mold from a 1080p file.
That is a powerful, proactive structural defense that costs absolutely nothing to implement.
Nothing. You just change a setting.
But we have to acknowledge the reality of digital life. What about the times when you are a professional photographer? Or you absolutely must upload a higher resolution file for a specific reason? Or just for the general media you are posting?
That is where the second layer of defense comes in. Metadata scrubbing tools.
Scrubbers.
Before you post any photo online, you must adopt the habit of running it through a scrubber app. And I want to be incredibly clear here. We are not just talking about deleting the GPS coordinates or the date and time EXIF data.
That's the old way.
That's the old way. Modern biometric scrubbers utilize a highly advanced technique called algorithmic noise injection, sometimes referred to as adversarial perturbations.
The underlying math behind adversarial perturbations is absolutely fascinating.
It is cyber warfare at the pixel level. The scrubbing tool mathematically alters the specific color and light values of individual pixels across your photo at a level that is entirely imperceptible to the human optical system.
So it looks normal to us.
To you, to your friends, the photo looks completely flawless. The lighting is exactly the same. Your smile is the same. But to a machine learning bot analyzing the raw data array,
the math is poisoned.
The math is poisoned. The spatial relationships between the pixels are scrambled. The scrubber might shift a gradient in such a way that the AI algorithm suddenly classifies your face as a toaster.
Or a tree.
Or a tree. It makes it mathematically impossible for the crawler to extract a coherent 3D mold or map the geometry of your iris. It takes maybe 2 seconds to run your photo through a scrubber app before hitting post.
And it provides an invisible mathematical armor against the crawlers.
Exactly. So we've secured the outbound data. We are starving the bots with 1080p and poisoning the well with scrubbers.
But we also have to secure the access points to our actual financial and corporate accounts.
Crucial step.
If we accept the premise that facial recognition software is fundamentally compromised by synthetic 3D models and virtual camera injections, how do we protect our most sensitive infrastructure?
This is the most critical tactical shift of all, and it requires action today. You must transition your authentication methods to hardware security keys.
Physical keys.
In the security world, these are known as the absolute digital handcuffs for hackers. You need to log into your banking portals, your corporate intranets, your password managers, and your crypto exchanges, and actively disable all facial recognition prompts.
Turn them off.
Turn them off. Furthermore, you must refuse SMS text message two-factor authentication, because text messages are highly vulnerable to SIM swapping attacks by these same syndicates.
Right, they just reroute your texts. So instead of relying on a compromised face or a vulnerable text message, you register a physical piece of hardware.
These keys look like small USB thumb drives or a little fob you keep on your keychain. They utilize the FIDO2 or U2F security protocols.
Let's break down the cryptography of why these represent the ultimate firewall against a synthetic takeover.
Gladly. Inside that little piece of plastic is a highly advanced, secure, enclave microchip. When you first register the physical key with your bank's website, that microchip generates a complex mathematical puzzle.
A public and private key pair.
Yes. And the specific routing and storage of those cryptographic keys is what makes the system virtually impenetrable.
Explain how that routing works.
The public key is sent over the internet to the bank's server. It acts like a public lock. But the private key, the only thing that can solve the puzzle, remains permanently trapped inside the physical plastic chip on your keychain.
It never leaves the device.
It is hard-coded into the silicon. It cannot be exported. It cannot be copied to a hard drive. And it cannot be transmitted over the internet under any circumstances.
So when you try to log into your bank on your phone, the app doesn't ask to scan your face.
No. It prompts you to authenticate physically. You take the key out of your pocket, tap it against the back of your phone using near-field communication.
NFC.
Right. The chip solves the math locally, and you are logged in.
It takes 2 seconds of physical friction, but the security implications are massive.
Because it anchors your digital identity to localized physical presence. Think about the operational hurdles this creates for a cyber syndicate.
It stops them cold.
A hacker halfway across the world in a server farm might have your alphanumeric password. They might have purchased a perfect, premium 8K synthetic clone of your face and your voice.
They might even have the capability to intercept your live web traffic.
But because of the immutable laws of physics, they cannot reach their hand through the internet and physically tap that plastic hardware key sitting on your desk in your home.
That's why you call them digital handcuffs.
Exactly. It bridges the digital vulnerability with a physical requirement, making a remote synthetic takeover impossible.
That is an incredibly robust, multi-layered defense strategy.
It is.
But taking a step back, this raises an important question about the systemic future we are walking into. While personal vigilance and digital handcuffs are paramount right now, what is being done on a macro level to stop this entire industry?
Right.
We operate in a society, we rely on digital infrastructure, we aren't just isolated individuals fending off bots.
We are finally beginning to see movement on both the legislative and technological fronts, though it is slow. On the legal side, lawmakers are currently drafting the Biometric Sovereignty Act.
The BS?
Yes. This is a massive piece of prospective federal legislation aimed at classifying the unauthorized scraping, synthesis, and brokering of high-resolution biometric data as a severe federal offense, carrying massive mandatory minimums.
And the strategic goal of that legislation is to attack the economic incentives of the dark market directly.
Pat them in the wallet.
It aims to formally, legally recognize that your biometric topography is your sovereign property, not just public domain, data free for the taking by automated proxies.
On the technological side, global tech consortiums, the camera manufacturers, the software giants, are developing digital authenticity watermarks.
Oh, this is cool.
These are operating on emerging standards like C2PA. This is a brilliant engineering approach because it moves the defense down to the hardware level of the camera itself.
How does that work exactly?
The secure processor inside the camera physically and cryptographically signs the file's metadata the exact millisecond the light hits the sensor.
Wow.
It embeds an unforgeable cryptographic signature, proving that the media came from a physical lens in the real world.
And mathematically proves it hasn't been altered by a JAN or an AI generator.
The implications for institutional security are huge. If a bank's security system receives a video feed for authentication, it instantly checks for that cryptographic silicon watermark.
And if a syndicate attempts a virtual camera injection with a synthesized 3D model,
the watermark is missing, the math fails, and the connection is instantly dropped. It holds tremendous promise for restoring trust in digital media.
It does hold promise. However, we have to ground ourselves in the harsh reality of 2026. These solutions are not yet global enforceable standards.
No, they are not.
The Biometric Sovereignty Act faces immense jurisdictional nightmares. If a biometric crawler is hosted on a proxy server in a country without an extradition treaty, domestic federal laws have very little actual bite.
And the digital watermarks require hardware upgrades across billions of devices globally, which will take years.
Which means we are currently operating in the gap. The systemic solutions are being designed and built, but they have not arrived to save us yet.
Therefore, strict personal vigilance is not an optional lifestyle upgrade. It is a required survival tactic in the modern digital economy.
Adopting the 1080p shield.
Utilizing metadata scrubbers.
And locking down your financial and corporate accounts with hardware security keys.
These are mandatory steps in this current landscape. You have to protect yourself while the world catches up to the technology it built.
Absolutely.
We have mapped out the entire architecture of the high-res trap today. From the automated crawlers hoarding our subpixel data to the dark markets commodifying our faces.
Right through to the devastating psychological reality of the synthetic takeover and the exact tactical defenses you need to survive it.
It is a vast amount of information to process.
But knowledge and proactive digital hygiene are your absolute best assets.
Before we go, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final, profound philosophical thought to mull over. One that extends beyond our own immediate security.
It's a big one.
For thousands of years of human history, a smile, the specific cadence of a voice, the familiar look in someone's eye, these physical markers have been the absolute bedrock of human trust.
They really have.
We've discussed how your face is no longer cryptographic proof of your physical presence. But think about the generations to come.
The kids.
Right. We are currently battling a 15-year backlog of compromised photos, but children born today will have high-resolution 3D maps of their faces captured and shared from the literal moment they are in the delivery room.
That's true.
They will have thousands of 8K data points stockpiled on servers before they take their first steps. As we enter this new era, how do we protect the digital sovereignty of a generation whose biometric keys are stolen before they even learn to speak?
How will they ever prove they are truly themselves?
That is the generational challenge we have to face.
It really is.
Thanks for tuning in to Behind the Scams. We will see you in our next episode. Hopefully with Nick and Sue back, provided they haven't been defeated by a roll of packing tape.